Amen. The Lord will bless his word. It's lovely to have a Bible. It's lovely to read the Bible, to study the Bible. And the sad thing today is that modernists have come along to our Bibles. The old preacher in America put it, he said, modernists have come to our Bible and they've taken away God out of creation. And he says they've gone on through the Bible and they've taken Christ off the cross and they said that Jesus didn't really die. And he said they've taken the blood out of our salvation. And the modernists have gone and he says they've taken the gold out of heaven and they've taken the fire out of hell. When you and I read the Bible, we need to stay with God's word these days. And we find that God did create all things. And he didn't only create all things, he sustains all things. We have a theory going about today that God wound the world up like a clock, and then once it runs down, that's it all over. But God created all things, he sustains all things, and he'll bring all things to a conclusion according to his will. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he did hang on a cross. He died on a cross. They try to say now today that Jesus didn't die, but he died. He was buried. He rose again and ascended into glory. Read what the undertakers thought. The undertaker always knows if a man's dead or alive. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, the undertakers, they took him off the tree. They pulled the nails out. They knew he was dead. Ask Mary that stood at the cross, did Jesus die? Ask the soldiers. Ask Pilate, is Jesus really dead? Yes. The blood of Jesus Christ, they've tried to take it out of our salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so heaven, my heaven must be someplace, because we look today and I'm just noticing I haven't my wedding ring on. It's made of gold. I'll get it telling off. Are you not married to me? But we've got a wee bit of gold. And maybe you've got a gold ring, gold necklace. It's very precious. And people today, they say if you invest in gold, it's the best investment. And God says when you get to heaven, he says, I'm going to tar the street with gold. You say, I don't like tarred street. Well, he says, I'll pave it with gold. I'll put in brick paving, gold pavements. That's what I think of gold. And then they say there's no fire in hell. There's no place called hell. Everybody's wonderful. They all go to heaven. But it tells us here where we're reading about fire. Now, that's our thoughts this morning. We're going to think of the fire of the Bible. And we've read there about Sodom and Gomorrah. Interesting, some years ago we were in Israel when I retired. Goodness, it's a long time ago now. We decided we'd go to Israel for a wee holiday. We were up in Jerusalem and then we were up in Tel Aviv and then we went down to Eilat. And the weekend we were away in Eilat, we didn't plan it this way. There was a gay parade in Israel, in Tel Aviv. There was 250 gays parading, never mind the crowd that was watching. And if they could only realize that some miles down the road, you've got the Dead Sea. And there in the Dead Sea, that's the remains of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God judged the same sin. And we read there this morning about Lot. We read about in Genesis 19:24 there, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. From the Lord out of heaven. God wasn't pleased with this sin. The day of judgment had come. That brimstone, by the way, that's fuel for fire. And God said there's going to be a fire upon sinners. Sinners don't think that today. Sure they don't. The Bible explains the broad road, the narrow road. The wee boy over in Uganda, the team of workers who were there that Sunday morning, one of the men testified and he said that the Lord took him off the broad road and put him in the narrow road and he said, I'm on my way to heaven. And the wee boy of about 12 or so came up afterwards and he says, sir, can I speak to you? He says, yes, son. He says, Mrs. Baxter told us last week about the broad road and the narrow road. The broad road leads to destruction, to fire. The narrow road leads to heaven. And he says, God took you off the broad road and put you in the narrow road. And he says, sir, can I get onto the narrow road? That wee boy got gloriously saved that morning. The wee boy wouldn't have shoes on his feet. He might have tin roof and he might not. If it rains, They get wet in poverty. And he'll walk the golden streets of heaven. And we have people here in Londonderry, and they're wealthy, they're comfortable, they have shoes, they have a bed, they have a roof, they have running water, they have more than they need, they have a bank account, and they're on their way to hell. Here's this fire and brimstone, it came out from the Lord. We have a modernistic view today that God's a great God of kindness and love and everybody's wonderful. And he's like Father Christmas, giving out presents and gifts and mercy and love. And the sails is here, there's fire. A fire upon the ungodly, fire upon the unclean, fire upon sinners, fire upon homosexuality. Fire upon those that rejected the testimony of Lot. Verse 14 says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When he went out and he told them, look, we've got to get out, there's judgment coming. Oh, they just laughed on him. You go down the town today, you go over to this supermarket, you go down the town, you start talking to people and say, you know, there's judgment coming, there's judgment coming. They'll laugh at you. They don't want this testimony. And those that were steeped in sin received the fire of God, but those that rejected the testimony of salvation suffered the fire of God. You could be brought up in church, you could be brought up in Sunday school, you could be brought up to go to the youth meetings, you could be brought up and still not saved. The fire upon the ungodly. There were people in Sodom and Gomorrah, no fear of God, no thought of God. But we needn't turn to it, or you can turn if you want, but in Leviticus 10, in verse 2 it says, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Leviticus 10 and 2. What's that? Well, this is a church scene. This is a picture of Nadab and Abihu, men who worked in the church. And the fire came out and lit the sacrifice. But Nadab and Abihu, I'm not sure of the details what they did, but they presented before God, the Bible talks about strange fire. Seems to be man-made fire. Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron. They were the priestly family. They worked in God's house, and they were outwardly busy working for God. But their heart wasn't right. It says they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Here is men in a church scene in disobedience to God. Now, I'm not saying they're saved or unsaved, but it's a public act of disobedience. Now, surely we have that today. We have churches today, and there's a public act of disobedience when they stand up and say you can have regeneration through water baptism. That's a public act of disobedience, because God's salvation is found alone in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in water. And here were men, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, and he said, you're not to do what you're doing. And he offered it before the people, for all the people, to sidetrack the people away from the proper sacrifice. And the fire from the Lord consumed them. Notice it was fire from the Lord that consumed the ungodly, the unclean, the ones who rejected Lot's testimony. And it's fire from the Lord that dealt with this problem in the tabernacle, in the church. A public act of disobedience. They're consumed with fire. So sad to see professing people, professing Christians. And they come along and they say, well, you know, we're born into a Christian country. Well, if you're born into a Christian country, it doesn't make you a Christian. If you're born in a garage, it doesn't make you a motor car. Sure doesn't. And we do the best. Our minister told us this, and we're told, ah, friend, we're living in days when the Lord will swallow them up. Psalm 21 and 9, the Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and fire shall devour them. God's a God of love, yes, but he's a God of justice. And he's a God of fire. The enemies of God and those that hate God and those that would persecute the church of God, they're heading for fire. The false preacher, the one that gives another gospel out, a false religion, the one that mocks God's salvation. I didn't watch much of it, I just saw a little glimpse of it, of the opening ceremony in France at the Olympics. I just saw the mockery of the Last Supper. That was all I wanted to see. Mocking that which is true and real. Matthew 3 verse 12 says, "He will gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Some years ago, I was coming down out of Newry, and I saw a thresher in the field. Now, I never worked a thresher. I'm too young for that. Some of the older folk here, you'd need to be, I suppose, over 50 to know that, but I never worked the thresher, but I stopped to see this thresher working. And I had a collar on and all. I was going to visit in the hospital, and all the men around the thresher wondered, what's the minister coming to the thresher for? And I went over to the thresher, and there's a wee man standing with a bag, and he was holding it, and he was so careful that he didn't lose any of the grain. Man, it was amazing. And out the back came the straw, and the chaff was blowing about, and I chatted to the wee man, and the bags were going up onto the trailer, off home to the shed, to the barn. But a couple of days later, I was coming down the road again, I saw the wee man in the field, so I stopped and went in for a chat with him. And I said, "Well, what are you at today?" "Oh," he says, "the thresher's away, moved on." He said, "I'm just tidying up." I said, "What are you at?" "Well, oh," he says, "I'm gathering up a few old weeds and dirt around the gate here, and there's a few old thorns and stuff. I'll throw them on top of the chaff and I'll burn it." That was a good idea, wasn't it? And we do things that we don't expect God to do. God says he'll gather up all those that are saved, and not one of them will perish. That wee man wouldn't let a bit of grain perish. Man, not at all. He spilt none of it. And God's not going to let any of his children go to hell. And God's going to gather up all his children, those that know him as their Savior, and he's going to gather them into the barn, into the garner, into heaven. He's going to burn up the chaff. That farmer, nobody complained about him having a wee fire burning up the rubbish. And we complain that God wouldn't do this. He says he will do it. It's wonderful to be one of God's children this morning, by the way. We'll never be in hell. Never be in hell. Oh, he'll gather the wheat in, and the old chaff and the weeds and the dirt of this world. Going to the fire. Revelation 19 and 20 says, "The beast, the false prophet." Revelation 20 verse 9, "Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." All those that reject God. Yeah, the false prophet, the beast. All those that turn against God. All those that reject the Lamb of God. All those that worship another form of God, another religion. He says, "One day fire will consume them." It's interesting to see that in Genesis it said, "Fire came out of the Lord, out of heaven." And then in Revelation it says, "Fire came down from God, out of heaven." The beginning of the book, the end of the book, it speaks there of the fire of God. The fire of God upon sinners. You wouldn't want to change places with them if you're saved. God's salvation's worth so much. Even when God gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 19, the Ten Commandments were accompanied with fire. It says in Mount Sinai, the Lord descended upon it in fire. God is a God of love. We'll see that in a moment. God's a God of salvation. But he's a God of fire. On sinners. Yeah. When God gave his word, the Ten Commandments, he was dividing right and wrong. He was dividing obedience and disobedience. He was dividing the saved from the unsaved. Mary Slessor, that little girl born in Dundee, and they moved to Aberdeen, and she was out playing on the streets. Her father was an alcoholic. Her mother was a godly woman. The mother sent her along to church on a Sunday morning, and she went along. She was a good free Presbyterian because she gave her a mint sweet tea during the preaching of the sermon. And there she was in church on a Sunday morning. But an old lady, an old pensioner lady, decided that she would take the children in during the week sometimes into the house out of the cold. And she had a lovely big fire lit, a big burning coal fire, and the children would come in and the old lady would tell them about the salvation and the Bible stories. And then the old lady turned to them one day, and Mary was sitting, and she said to her, "You wouldn't want to put your hand in the fire. It would burn you." And she says to her, if you don't repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul will burn in fire in hell forever." Wee Mary was shocked. Mary Slessor went home and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and said, "My soul will never burn in hell." Friend, there's a reality here. Sinners on the broad road that leads to destruction, leads to the fire. Exodus 12 and verse 8 gives us something else. "And they shall eat the flesh," that's the lamb, "in the night, roast with fire." We have the fire upon sinners, we have the fire upon sacrifice. Way back in the Old Testament there, when the sacrifices were made, there was a special fire. I believe that the fire in the tabernacle, temple, and all those places had been ignited originally by God's fire. That actually happened again in Leviticus. But this sacrifice was roasted with fire. Why? Because it took the sinner's place. Now, I know the blood was in the doorpost and the lintel, yes. But there was fire upon the lamb, the sacrifice. Where was the place of safety? Yeah, the blood was in the doorpost. But in that house, that roasted lamb was food for the soul and salvation. What am I saying? There is a place of safety. A place where we won't get burnt because the fire is consumed on a sacrifice. Leviticus 9, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering." That's the place where Nadab and Abihu, the verses previous to Nadab and Abihu, the fire came out and consumed the sacrifice. And Nadab and Abihu were not happy and content with God's fire, God's sacrifice. They said, "We'll do our sacrifice. We'll have our fire. We'll have our way. Our way's better than God's way." You see, God has given us a sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the sacrifice, God's Son. The one who's consuming the fire on behalf of sinners. Now, the choice is, do we want God's sacrifice? Or do we want our own way? Nadab and Abihu says, "No, we don't want that sacrifice. We want our way. We'll have our fire. We'll have our sacrifice. We'll do it our way." Modernists say that today. "We don't want God's sacrifice. No, we'll have our way." So a wee man asked one time about going to heaven. And the answer he gave was, he says, "I put £1,500 a year in the church, and God will not keep me out of heaven if I pay as much as that. I'm doing it my way." God's fire at Calvary. My, the Lord Jesus Christ took our punishment. He took our sin. He took our hell. And sadly today we look around us and we see people and they love their sin. If you would have been downtown last night, you would have seen a lot of people and they love their sin. Their drunkenness, their immorality, all that goes with it. And there's few who love the Savior. Do you love the Savior this morning? The one who died for you, the one that took hell for you, the one that took the fire for you. Do you love him? Or are you saying, no, I'll do it my way? Over in 1 Kings 18, we know the wonderful story of Elijah. And he called up the prophets of Baal. What does it mean? He says, you get your sacrifice and you pray to your gods to light the fire. And we'll see what happens. And he watched them. No fire fell. And then the time came, he says, look, forget it. I'll put my sacrifice. Bring some water, pour it over it. Make sure there's no life attached, no spark. And the fire fell. And what does it mean? It means that the fire of God divides, friend. It divides the saved and the unsaved. It divides in homes and families. It divides between a mother and father. It divides between parents. It divides in church. It divides. The fire of God divides. Like up on that mountain there, call upon the name of the Lord, or call upon the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And God's fire came and divided the people between the saved and the unsaved. Zechariah tells us, is not this a brand plucked from the fire? My God's salvation is a brand plucked from the fire. If you're saved this morning, you'll never be in the fires. Oh no, hell will not be your place. The broad road leads to destruction, but the little narrow road with all its difficulties. Old Bunyan talked about the narrow road, and he said there's the hill of difficulty, and there's the valleys of humiliation, and there's the valley of the shadow of death, and there's lots of problems, but might end it where? In the celestial city. Or maybe you're not saved. Maybe you say, no, I don't need God's way. I'll go my way. On the broad road. One little thought. There's the thought of the fire on sinners. There's the thought of God's fire on his sacrifice that took my place, my hell. But there's another fire. There's the fire of service. I like this one. Exodus 3 and 2 tells us about Moses. And he's out there, gets up in the morning, gets his breakfast, gives himself a stretch. He said, I better go and look at the sheep. Going to lead the sheep today. Everything just as normal. I don't know if it was lambing time or not. I was talking to a man the other night, and he was telling me that he had, 700 ewes lambed and all the rest of it. And I don't know if Moses was lambing time or not, but he goes out just as normal duty in the morning. He's not a young fella any longer. He's getting on in years. And he goes down along and he sees a little bush burning. Now that happens in the land of Israel because little bit of sunshine and so forth. But this is different. This bush is burning, but it's not been consumed. It's still green. It's still burning. And he stops and the Lord says, take your shoes off. It's holy ground. And the Lord begins to deal with Moses as an old man. And he sees the fire and he feels the heat and he knows God's presence. And God says to him, I want you to do something for me. Oh, No. I'm too old for that. I have other things to do. I'm content out here at the backside of the desert. I'm looking after the sheep. They're not even his own sheep. He was happy looking after somebody else's sheep. Happy lambing, happy feeding, happy. Lord, I'm very content. And the Lord says, no, Moses. I'm the God of fire. And I want you to go down to Egypt and bring my people out of Egypt. Oh, Lord, I couldn't do it. Sure, Lord, I've even got a bit of a stoppage and I can't even speak properly. And, oh, Lord, my days of all that's over. I'm an old man. No, Lord says, no, you're going to do. I want you to do it. I'll go with you. I've got fire and I want to put, if you can get the hold of this, fire in your soul, Moses. Do you ever meet somebody with a bit of fire in their soul? I've been reading Mary Slessor, and I tell you, she had fire in her soul. She was on fire. Down the years, we've met different ones here and there, and they've got a fire in their soul, got an enthusiasm for God. Well, we planned to watch the Olympics, didn't you? I'm sure you did some of it. And you see the young people searching for fire in their sport. But what about fire for God? Serving the Lord. And Moses, look at the bush burning. That's a picture of you growing on fire. Nothing to worry about. I'll be with you. The fire of God will accompany you down into Egypt. Fire in the soul. Called of God to serve God in a special way. Oh, I tell you, it's no way like it. To go out to serve the Lord there is a wonderful thing. Psalm 39 and verse 3 speaks of David. He said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. What happened, David? David had been serving the Lord, but things had gone wrong, and he'd gone down into a difficult time, and he says, that's me, I'm finished. This doesn't happen with people today, but it does, surely. I've been in the church a long time, and we've been praying, and we've been working, and I'm finished. I'm finished. I'm not going to witness any longer. I'm not going to sing any longer. I'll shine a pew, and that's it. No. Wee job on Sunday. No, not for me. Would you help the... No, not for me. Would you like to work in our new kitchen? Indeed, not for me. I'm not going to speak any longer. I've got insulted. I tried to witness. They hurt me. They cut me down. I'm not going to speak. I'm going to resign, in fact. That's the way David felt. And it says he was musing. That word musing, he began to think and study. He began to read his Bible. And as he read his Bible, he began to think of heaven and hell. Those two things you think of. And then he began to think of the saved and the unsaved. And as he began to think of heaven and hell and salvation and Christ and sacrifice and the fire of God in his own soul began to burn again. Moses, you see Moses standing before Pharaoh. You tell me, was there fire in his soul? There was surely fire in his soul. The man's red hot for God. You see David. And he's hurt, he's annoyed. I'm not sure all the details of what happened to him. And as he begins to study and think of God and think of salvation and think of the world and think of eternity and think of heaven and think of hell, as he's musing, his fire begins to burn again. And then he says, after his fire, soul begins to burn, he said, I spake with my tongue. He began to talk about the Savior. Oh, my. If you could only think of sinners perishing, and there is a Savior, and if you could only see them perishing, if you could only sit with them and watch them going out into eternity without God, without Christ, without a Savior, it'll light a fire in your soul, and it'll burn, and you'll not be silent. Oh, while you say, well, to go out and serve the Lord. Yeah, there's safety serving the Lord. Moses was down into Egypt. They wanted to kill him previous, but he was safe. He was kept safe, died an old man. David died an old man with all his problems. David Brainerd went out to the mission field to the Indians, and he was out praying one night, and the Indians said, we'll go and we'll kill this missionary. And they come out and they gathered round the hillside and they looked down and they saw him kneeling on the ground and one says, we can't touch him. Why? He says, look close. And he was surrounded by angels and fire. Yeah. Was there four? How many was in the fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's a fourth one. And he looks like unto the Son of God. And when God opens our eyes and we see that we're sinners and we come to know Christ as our Savior, our sacrifice, we're on the narrow road that leads to heaven, and my friend, we're off the broad road that leads to the fires of hell, to God's fire. We're off that road. We're on the narrow road. And then the Lord said, I want you to get a bit of fire in your soul. Get a bit of fire in your soul. And serve him. And go out like Moses and serve the Lord. Go out like David Brainerd and serve the Lord. And get your mouth open and speak for the Lord the way David was going to do, because his soul was in fire. the way Mary Slessor did, the way Noreen does, to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ, the fire of God. Oh, may the fires of hell never be your portion, but may the fire of God in your soul that is burned on the sacrifice of Christ take a hold of you and get a fire in your soul for the perishing. Wherever God wants you to go, should he want you to go to Egypt? Should he want you to go to Africa? Should he want you to go to some other country? Should he want you to go down into the town? Should he want you to go into the kitchen and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. The wee boy in Scotland went to the meeting. And they come round with the offering. And he had no money. And he said to the man with the offering plate, would you set the plate down there, please, on the floor? And the man set the plate on the floor, and the wee boy got over and he stood in the plate. And he said, Lord, I give you myself. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank thee, Lord, it's been a good morning around thy word. We have known the blessing of the Lord. We have known help given. We thank thee, Lord, that we are warned in Scripture that there is fire. There's fire on the perishing. We're warned, Lord, to flee from the wrath to come. And, oh, God, that we might flee. Oh, if there's one not saved, flee from the fire. Run away from the fire. Stay away from the fire. Come to know Christ as their Savior. And, oh, God, that we might serve thee like Moses. Put a fire in our soul, Lord. Take away the fear of sinning, the love of sinning and the fear of man, that we might love thee and serve thee. Give us a fear of God. Lord, we've lost the fear of God. Even God's children have lost the fear. Give us a touch from yourself this morning. May there be a change in our behavior. We ask it. Remember those that are not with us. Remember those not too well. Draw near to them in Jesus' name. Amen.